Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Bills rookie quarterback Jake Fromm apologized for a text from 2019 that was released about guns. Fromm said that they should be expensive so that, quote, only elite white people can get them. Shannon, what was your reaction when you heard about this text that was released?
Not surprising. But Skip, isn't this the crux of the argument that blacks have been trying to make? This is textbook definition of racism, is that he thinks he's entitled to something solely based on the color of his skin. That's what racism is. That's it in a nutshell. If you look up, go to the dictionary and look up racism. He just defined it, laid it out for you. I'm entitled to something that you're not because the color of my skin. And that's how it's been since the inception, since we first landed here, brought here in 1619. You lower than I am because you're darker than me. You're black, I'm white, I'm better, I'm smarter. That's it. Skip, I believe over the next 3 to 6 months, you're going to see a lot of this stuff start to spill out.
Agreed.
I think, and remember, Skip, I told you 3 people to tell you the truth. Drunks, kids, and angry people. Now, somebody was angry. Somebody, this is a text message. This is not something that was disseminated on social media.
Yep.
So somebody got upset.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, I got you. I got something for you. And that's what happened.
Mm.
And you don't really want to. Skip, I'll be the first to admit, I've always been a fairly good athlete, but I've really never thought that I was better than someone because I was black. I thought I was better than you because of my talents. I thought I was better than you because I worked hard. I don't automatically assume anything. And I've been very fortunate, and I think that has a lot to do with how my grandmother brought us up. But to think you are entitled to or you're better than based solely on the color of your skin, and he wants to go. So blacks ain't got no Second Amendment rights, Skip. So see, again, there are certain things that should be only applicable to them.
Mm-hmm.
The Second Amendment, I thought the Second Amendment rights said I have the right to bear arms, but I think they were talking about the military, but that's neither here nor there. Says I have the right to bear arms. So it didn't say nothing about the color of your skin. But he believes in racism exists in systemic because of this. So I'm glad he got caught up. I mean, people say a lot of things, and then behind closed doors is totally different. I saw where an Oregon State player, incoming freshman, if I'm not mistaken, got kicked off the team for some of his rhetoric. It's going to start to spill out, and I think, Skip, we might be surprised of some of the people that might be engulfed in something similar, very similar to this.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned somebody got angry enough to leak this,
mm-hmm.
to expose this.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go deeper into that, because for me, this is a whole new development, a whole nother level mm-hmm. that this country is experiencing right now mm-hmm. that in my lifetime I have never, ever seen. So this text was leaked onto Twitter by a female acquaintance, I don't know exactly what their relationship mm-hmm. was, of Jake Fromm's at Georgia
uh-huh.
last year.
Yes.
I don't know if it's a girlfriend or just a friend. Not sure about
okay.
that. But she posted the text that was obviously private between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was that she also posted another text exchange with another friend of theirs who texted, Jake has called me 3 times. Please take down what you just posted because he's in trouble over it. And she said, I can't. It's not right. And she went on to explain, female acquaintance, mm-hmm. And by the way, obviously white mm-hmm. of Jake Fromm, I don't want to see him go down, but I know part of helping the cause on my end is to call out things like this.
Right.
And if anything, I don't think he'll get fired, but I think he might have to make a statement, which would be good. Well, he obviously, he had to make a big statement, big apology,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So everybody out there, think with me about this. A white female acquaintance, look back at her text messages, one that stuck in her craw, mm-hmm. stuck in her psyche from last year. And she said, and I looked at her Twitter site last night, she is on fire with outrage over George Floyd. So she's so caught up in this cause, the black community's cause, that she finally decided, I can't stay silent on this. I'm going to expose what he texted me last year.
Right.
Is it fair? I don't know. You can argue friend to friend. It's not fair.
Right.
But is it right? Mm-hmm. She's saying it's right.
Right.
Okay, here we go.
Right.
And it's to the point I keep telling you, again, I'm looking at it from a white perspective, but every time I turn on a protest, a demonstration, a march, I am pleasantly shocked that young white people are coming out in droves
they
to
are.
Support their black brothers and sisters,
they
and
are.
It feels different to me.
It does.
In my younger days, there was a thing called white guilt, where white people just felt guilty.
Mm-hmm.
This didn't feel like guilt to me.
No.
It feels like love. Right?
Feels like they want the change. They want America to be a representation, equal representation for everyone.
Okay. So then she posts also the text exchange with her friend who says they're talking about dropping him right now, as in cutting him.
Yeah.
And this woman who posted the Jake Fromm text said, how is that my fault that he's going to get fired for this? How is that my fault?
Right.
She's doing her part.
Right.
Okay. You good with that?
Skip, I'm always leery of stuff because, Skip, when I get text messages, I just disregard them. And I'm always leery of people that save whore text messages because why are you doing that? If you and I get into a disagreement, are you going to leak something to try to embarrass me or to try to make me look bad? That's what I believe that you would try and do. And so for me, Skip, I've had text between, acquaintances, and I haven't said anything incriminating. I haven't been racial or anything like that. But I'm always a little leery of when people hold text messages, Skip, I'm always like, why are you doing that? I mean, what's the end game? And for me, Skip, okay, he apologized. He apologized for getting caught. Skip, it's hard for me to believe that you have something embedded in you for 21 years and you make an apology, a 50-word apology, and that just like that, you're healed.
Okay, I agree with you. The way this was exposed is not right to me.
Right.
But what got exposed is so wrong that you say, okay, I got it. And he did show you his private she showed you his private side.
Yes, yes.
That you would immediately condemn as that's as racist as it gets, right?
Yes.
And I loved what Terry Godwin of the Jaguars tweeted yesterday. He played with Jake Fromm at Georgia, and he said, this is showing everybody's true side.
Yes.
Everybody's true side.
Yes.
Well, it is. So every time I click on something, I see yet somebody else has either exposed themselves or gotten exposed because of this groundswell of a breakthrough turning point movement that we're all experiencing post-murder of George Floyd,
right?
So in the end, I'm looking around the scope of there was the Alan Hinton, the former coach of the Sounders.
Right.
You see that bizarre tweet that he posted? He's their ambassador, and now he was their TV and radio announcer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he posted a bizarre tweet about, I am not a racist, and it was just so bad and so wrong that he had felt compelled to show his feelings about this. I used to be racist, but then I found that black players could help me win championships, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's like he thought that was a good thing to say. It's not a good thing to say, to admit publicly. So he got fired.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm racist, but if you can help me win, I'll be willing to look past my hatred towards you. And Skip, and I saw Texas State, some of his players.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a gymnast from Alabama.
That's correct.
Skip, I believe there are more Drake Fromms in the world than not.
Yeah.
If you were to look at if you could be a fly on the wall and hear a lot of private conversations, everybody's, oh no, I don't have a race. I don't see color. I don't see color. But boy, they can show what would the suspect look like? Oh, he was about 6 foot tall, medium build, black. I thought you didn't see color.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying, Skip?
Yep.
So for me, is that Jake, you can't just issue a statement and says, okay, I don't really feel that way. Bruh, actually you do.
Mm.
Because, Skip, this is And what do we, because a lot of times when we see, and there have been baseball players, there have been other players, Skip, that tweeted things that when they were 13, 14 years of age, we chalk it up as being young. Mm-hmm. Skip, this was 2019. It was 2019. He ain't no 14-year-old. He ain't no 12-year-old tweeting something in high school. Mm-hmm. He's a college junior. And this is what he said. Mm-hmm. This is what he believes. So that's ingrained in him, Skip.
Yep.
He's been taught that.
Yep.
I mean, second, I thought the Constitution was applicable to everybody. Not you get something based because you think you should be entitled to something because you're white. Mm. That's textbook example of what racism is. And Jake Fromm just laid it out there. And the female, I don't, like I said, Skip, I don't know if she was a girlfriend, an ex-girlfriend, or whatever she was. She took the blanket off him and let everybody see what he was, what he is. Mm-hmm. And then she went on about her way.
And then we had this development in Sacramento. Grant Napier has been like the legendary voice of the Kings since 1988 as their play-by-play announcer. Also did talk radio in Sacramento with Doug Christie, former King player, as you know. And DeMarcus Cousins, it felt to me like he cast a line into the water.
Yes.
Hoping to catch maybe a racist fish and reel him in.
Yes.
And he tweeted at Grant Napier, "How do you feel about Black Lives Matter?" And he took the bait.
Right.
And he said, "All lives matter." And boom, he got fired.
Right.
And I think DeMarcus knew what might come back because he said, predictable. I can't remember what he was
saying. Yeah, basically, like, that's what he said.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And then Matt Barnes tweeted that we knew he was that.
Chris Webber.
Yes.
Also said, right. I've had a lot of conversations with the organization about this gentleman, about some of the things he's said in his demeanor and his behavior.
Yep.
So it wasn't like DeMarcus was just out there. Skip it. I love that talking about, oh, Shannon. I get that a lot, too. Oh, you race baiting. I said, but they showed biting today. I'm catching a lot of them, too.
Ooh.
Yeah, you know, Skip, when you go to a good fishing spot and they biting, you don't leave.
Yep.
You just keep casting, just keep pulling
them
out. Ooh.
And Andre Miller tweeted, "All lives matter," quote unquote, is the go-to response from racist individuals when they're asked about Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. Okay? Bingo.
Right.
So now that's happening. That's never really happened before to me. And all of a sudden, everybody's caught up in, I need to express myself. Well, are you going to express your true self?
Skip, I think there's a lot of people right now. I think when Jake Fromm thing happened, I think a lot of people been going back, hey, can you erase that text message? They're going back scrubbing their IG and Twitter accounts. Mm-hmm. They're going back like, I need to get this because this is not, Skip, I believe this is the beginning. Because if you want to make this thing right, you're going to have to weed out the behavior.
You are.
And you got to know, Skip, I need to know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I need to know. There's a reason why we get checked. We go to the airport because they're trying to figure out, okay, who's legit and who's not. Well, I need to know.
Yep.
And then I can deal with Skip. As long as I know, I'm cool with it. See, that's the difference between the South and the North, Skip. Mm-hmm. In the South, they let you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem.
True.
Especially when I was growing up.
Yep.
They say the end and keep it moving. Like, we don't mess with you, so let's keep it there. But in the North, and as you go, well, California, nah, people just hide it better.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. I mean, it's all over, all 50 states. So this state is more than this, and this state is less than that. Some people have just gotten better at hiding it.
When we first got to know each other 4 years ago, you would say red state, blue state.
Right.
And I'd say, hey, many of the blue states I've lived in, the racism I felt was just as strong as in the deep South.
Mm-hmm.
But it is hidden. It is more closeted, and you have to look harder for it.
Yeah.
But it will show itself if you look hard enough.
Yeah. You ain't even got to look.
No.
Okay. I see.
Yep.
No more hiding. I think that's a really good point, guys.
No mercy.
The potential of Kevin Durant making a comeback is still being talked about. According to Fox Bet, the Nets' odds improved from 100-1 in March when the season did stop prematurely, but then we're now at 50-1 with the finals, going to be played in October. So we got some time. Shannon, can you see KD playing?
Skip, I don't. I just don't see him playing. I know he had surgery on that Achilles on June 12th of 2019, and so we're coming up on a year. But, Skip, the season is about to be condensed, and you're going to be asking a lot, an awful lot of a guy, because I don't believe they're going to get the normal rest that they would get, Skip, if they were playing during the season. So you got these eight games that's going to have to be played in a very short amount of time, and then you're going to have to start the season. And remember, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to start the following season on December 1st. So you end it on October 12th. And you're going to start the next upcoming season on December 1st, which means you're going to have a training camp or something, Skip. I just think that's asking an awful lot. I know Kyrie had shoulder surgery in March, and and they said it was going to be a four-month recovery, so that would put him around July. But I just don't see Kevin Durant coming back and risking it. I think the risk is too great versus what the reward would be. So I don't see him playing this year, Skip.
So is it possible?
Oh, there you go.
Is it possible that I just heard LaShannon Sharp poo-poo the possibilities of the best player on the planet coming back all of a sudden as we restart the NBA season and taking over the postseason?
No, it's
Is it possible?
No, it's not. It's possible that he could come back, yes. The question was not, was it possible? Is it, do I see him? And I said no, and I listed the reasons why I don't think he was going to come back. That's it.
I am not privy to KD's medicals, but all I know is by the time they actually play a game around August the 1st, it will have been a year and almost 2 months since he had surgery. Not since he suffered the Achilles tear, since he had surgery. A year and 2 months. That is long enough to heal that injury.
Okay.
If he has been playing a little bit of sort of pickup basketball, if he has been going through high-speed drills, and the Achilles is responding just fine, which it well might be responding just fine because they are so good with that surgery now, that it can be like a 10-month recovery. So if you give it 12 months, 14 months, now up to 14, all of a sudden I'm saying, why not? He may say, why not? I watched Kevin the other day on Lil Wayne's new radio show, and his quote was, I'll be back when it's time. He said, I know everybody wants to know, a lot of emotions are running high, but he said, I'll be back when it's time. Well, could it be time on August the 1st?
I think he will. I think he would on the side of caution, because last time he thought it was time, and he let people get in his ear and tell him to come back. Kevin, we can do this. We can't do this without you. We need you. He let his teammates gas him up. He let his coaches gas him up. And look what he got him, Skip.
Okay, but do you want to miss effectively 2 years of basketball?
It ain't missed no 2 years. It's 1 year, Skip Bayless. You know good
weather. It's starting to feel like 2 years. So let's do the hypothetical. Okay. What if he comes back, and what if 5 months after arthroscopic shoulder surgery, Kyrie comes back? Because they're very close,
right.
We know. They're an item. They went together to the Nets. So if Kevin says, you know what, I feel like playing, I'm ready to play, I'm 1,000%, you don't think Kyrie would say, okay, let's do this? What if they both come back to a team that is now 30-24, and 34 of those games were played without Kyrie or Kevin? So Kyrie only played 20 games, but he averaged 27 a game. That's a career high.
Right.
For what it's worth, he averaged 5 rebounds. That was also a career high. He's playing at a high level, even though he tends, as he often does, to throw even the Nets teammates under the bus. But let's talk about those teammates, shall we? There were 7 Nets averaging at least 10 points a game. 7 in double figures. That's not counting Kevin Durant. Spencer Dinwiddie averaging 21 and 7 assists, both career highs. That's pretty good, right? He's a nice player. And Caris LeVert, maybe you say, came out of nowhere, but all of a sudden we got some splash games going from him, right? He's averaging career high 18, but lately he scored 34 at Washington, and then he scored 51 at Boston in a big win for the Nets. Can he score the basketball? Yeah, absolutely. You better believe it. Joe Harris, can he shoot? Yeah, we know he can shoot. We saw him win a three-point contest. He's averaging career high 14, shooting 41% from three. That's pretty good. Do they have any interior firepower? Yeah, they do. Jared Allen's pretty good. He's averaging 10 rebounds a game, career high. DeAndre Jordan, he's still got some game left. He's averaging 10 rebounds a game. So you have two double-digit 10 rebounders.
And they can protect the paint.
They can both protect. I just gave you a pretty good basketball team. If you add Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant to that team, is it possible? Sure, it's possible. Yeah. It's very possible.
Who goes to the bench?
Well, I that's a good problem.
Yeah, that ain't no
yes,
problem.
It is.
No.
Oh, you can mix and match. If the games are coming fast and furious, you can limit Kevin's minutes to 15, 17, 20 a night.
But, Skip, I think the thing is that integrating all those pieces, and we saw when you got guys that are anxious. I mean, look at Jaylen Brown, what he's become. Look at what Jason Tatum's become once they removed Kyrie. okay, you notice Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie is doing a lot of this without Kyrie on the court, without KD on the court. Okay, you bring KD, you bring Kyrie back. You got to integrate those guys playing together, and you got to get other guys that can go along with them knowing they got to take less of a role now.
Okay.
Well, Skip, I'm just doing my thing. I'm about to get a big payday. You know, hey, I'm trying to get me one of those max contracts, Skip, and I can't get that average. If I'm averaging 21, all of a sudden I start averaging 13. I'm averaging 18, all of a sudden I'm averaging 10. How they going to pay me?
So you're already posing some dissension in the Nets locker room? No.
See, no. There you go.
Hey, all of a sudden, if you can add two of the top 10 players to a decent team already, and I'm going to remind you, we're talking about the Eastern Conference, the cakewalk conference that used to belong to LeBron James.
Oh, it's cakewalk.
His cakewalk to the finals every year.
All right, so you're saying Giannis, the reason why Giannis is doing what he's doing is because that's the Eastern Conference, huh?
Well,
that
maybe. Maybe.
Is that what you're saying?
So let's do a what if. So right now the Nets are sitting in the 7th seed, but they're only a half game ahead of the Orlando Magic, the 8th seed.
Right.
Okay, let's say they get off to a little rusty, you know, out of sync start. And they wind up, the Nets do, as the 8th seed with Kevin Durant and Kyrie trying to figure it out. And all of a sudden, guess who they'd play in round one?
They got
Woohoo! Here we would go. What if they suddenly, what if the light bulbs all went on at the same time and they said, oh, we just figured this out.
And what if Giannis sweep them?
Well, what if KD turns back into the MVP of the NBA Finals? What if he turns back into that guy? Look, what we see, he won back-to-back MVPs right in LeBron's face, in LeBron's house in game threes. And then last year, did it not look like he was on his way to maybe winning a third straight MVP? He was turning the whole series around before the Achilles snapped, right?
Why you do that?
I'm doing it because it's the truth. What if he comes back and says, hey, watch this.
I mean,
I'm 100% healthy. Watch this.
But you make it seem like LeBron was just like fettuccine.
I didn't say
that. Like he was, you know what I'm saying, Skip? I mean, he averaged a triple-double in 5 games, and he was like 4 rebounds short of averaging another triple-double. Now, Michael Jordan plays great and lose. Oh, my goodness. That was not Michael Jordan's fault. He had no help. LeBron averaged a triple-double, loses in 5, gets swept, averaged almost another triple-double, 4 rebounds short of a triple-double, and Kevin Durant. Boom, right between LeBron.
Did he not? He shot one shot right in his face. Right in his face. It was the shot of the game. Remember, we're going back 3
finals. Well, I wish JR would have shot the shot in front of KD's face when he was 4 foot from the basket. How about that?
How about that? I wish LeBron had just taken the last shot.
Now, see, there you go.
How about that?
Or what about Kyle Korver making the shot?
Yeah. Why would you pick Kyle Korver, who'd never taken a shot that in his life?
They just said he was the 6th best shooter of all time.
Yeah, but he's not. That's regular season.
No, it's all season.
That's regular season.
It's all season.
You know what? This is going to be fascinating because Kevin Durant is clearly still the best player on the planet.
Not, stop,
and for him
that.
To come back and just upstage LeBron, everybody's saying, LeBron just won the MVP. Well, okay, I'll give you that.
So in other words, KD's going to pull a Willis Reed. He going to come back for the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, but he ain't limping. He's going to be 100%. Willis Reed just came out as just a show of force, right? He just came out. It was ceremonial. He just came out and limped onto the court, and they said, way to go, Willis. And then his teammates took the game over.
As we get further away, you'd have thought Willis Reed had a triple-double in that game.
What did he?
I don't think he scored. If he scored, he scored two points.
Maybe two. KD's going to score 32 a game.
Like Goat James?
All of a sudden, this team could be the out-of-the-box favorite to win the East. That's why the odds they're cut in half because all the betting sites are in all the casinos, they're all like, wait a second.
Why they just cut them in half? Why not take it down to 10-1? Why not 5-1?
Well, as we get closer, it's going to plunge. That will happen. If it starts to leak out, remember the agent for Kevin has said from the start, there's no way. But Kevin left the door slightly open on Lil Wayne's radio show. And to me, if I just look at the facts of almost 14 months since the surgery, that would indicate to me that, yeah. And obviously he's making a lot of money, and I'm sure the Nets would love to see him if he's 1,000% ready. Why not play?
Kevin Durant was not a one-year investment. Yeah. Kevin Durant is for the long haul. So he got plenty of time, Skip Bayless. Look, he can play or not play. That doesn't change our agenda. We don't let anybody else set our agenda.
Wouldn't it be something if LeBron somehow stole the West? I don't know. You know, if he stole the West.
Oh, he stole. That would be
stolen. And if Kevin won the East and all of a sudden we had LeBron versus KD in the finals again?
So the number one seed. Yeah. So the number one seed would somehow steal the West.
Yeah. Well, it's the Clippers, you know, who should be the number one seed. They're clearly the best team, best defense.
Why they don't have the best record?
Well,
we play the same teams.
Because, remember, their two wings and their two stars did not get to play much together. It's only been, what, 15 games they played together?
And you don't scare, there's going to be a lot of back-to-backs coming. Mm. There's going to be a lot of the game played real close.
Yep.
We're going to see what old Creaky Knees doing.
We will see. But if old Creaky Knees gets to the Western Conference Finals, you're going to be in some trouble.
No, we're not.
Yep.
Oh, I got this.
Unless his knees creak. If his knees creak.
No, you don't get. You ain't hedging here.
Yep.
It don't matter. You can say, my guy, how old is LeBron now? 42?
How old is he?
Yeah, don't worry.
I think he must be 43 by now.
A spry 25.
Brady's age. He's Brady's age.
A spry 25.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He's a spry 18th year player.
Yeah, no, don't do that, Skip.
Yep.
I mean, he's going to be the same in year 18 as he was in year 16, 15,
really?
13, 11.
Boy, KD is fresh. He is rested.
You okay?
Yeah.
Your day coming.
Just take a moment to celebrate that the NBA is back finally. And we can say it. We can talk about it. Oh, so much to look forward to July 31st. I will be ready. All right, good stuff, guys. No mercy. Tiger Woods tweeted out a statement a few days ago about George Floyd and the protests. Tiger said his heart goes out to everyone hurting and that he has the utmost respect for law enforcement. He continued saying that education is the best path forward for change. And Shannon, you said briefly on yesterday's show that you had a little bit of a problem with what Tiger had to say, his statement. Could you please elaborate for us?
Skip, what the hell is this? My heart goes out to George Floyd, his loved ones, and all of us who are hurting right now. I've always had the utmost respect for our law enforcement. What the hell is this, Tiger? You could have kept that. So just George Floyd. You don't mention anything else about what's happening in America. What caused this groundswell? You think it was just George Floyd? And then in the same, at a paragraph later, you have effusive praise for the people that's doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Tiger, for real, Tiger.
By the way, they train so diligently to understand how, when, and where to use force. Okay?
So they just started training on how to use and when and where to use force. But they've been implying that force with impunity on the heads of black men and women since they came to be. And Tiger, you did this. Tiger, you could have kept this. You could have kept this. Boy, this is awful. Skip, this is awful. This is not even... Ain't he worth the paper it's written on?
That's
what I think about Tiger Woods.
Okay.
Because he talked about how he wanted to win the Masters. I went back and saw an interview, Skip. He wanted to win the Masters because they wouldn't let blacks play on the golf court.
1997.
He won. And then all of a sudden, he wins.
Mm-hmm.
He's cobbling Asian.
Yeah.
Now, I don't... And he talked about how he couldn't play some of these prestigious courses in California. They didn't mention nothing because, well, they wouldn't let me play because I was cobbling Asian.
Mm.
He didn't mention nothing about that. He was black. All of a sudden, he become Tiger Woods, the Tiger that we know. He's got a little money in his pocket, $300-500 million in his pocket. Now he cobbling Asian. He's really never identified. But guess what? When you went through what you went through, guess who was there to support you? It wasn't the cobbling Asian. It was the black people that propped you up. When everybody shunned you, when you were the joke, check your IG, check your timeline, and what was being said about your butt. And now this is what you do. You release a statement talking about that. Mm-hmm. Your heart goes out to George Floyd. What about Trayvon Martin? What about Walter Scott? What about Eric Garner?
Mm.
Alton Sterling, Athena Jefferson, Breonna Taylor, Sandra Bland. On and on and on. So this is the only time your heart goes out. And then you got praise for, they train so diligent. Boy, Tiger Woods, you need to miss me. I bet I Skip, that was nothing. Oh, for education. Skip, they got 400 years head start of education. So I need to educate a man or a woman to say, you know what? You're not better than me because you're white. Hmm. All you got to do, Skip, is treat me just like you would treat somebody that looked like you. I need to educate you on that. For 400 years, come on, Tiger. You can do better than this.
Hmm.
Even Michael. who basically shied away from a lot of political issues. His statement, what did he say? He was very specific, all these generalities that you did. And then you're going to turn around and have praise? I would prefer you keep your mouth shut or keep your pen to yourself. That was nothing. That was, man, that was weaker than wheat. But this Fitz Tiger, you know, he don't want to get involved because, you know, hey, you know, white people, you know, buy golf clubs and Nike golf equipment and, you know, they play on the golf course. So I don't want to offend anybody. But I tell you what they did do. When they had that mugshot, when he got caught with them pills in his system, Skip, they didn't list Coblin Asian. Maybe it's African-American on that thing.
Yep. So, Shannon Sharp, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked yesterday about Drew Brees. What else did you expect from Tiger Woods? What else?
Skip, even Mike. Skip, even Mike came with something
strong. He finally came.
Yes!
He did. You're right. Michael Jordan you're talking about. So, to me, after you brought this up, I had just sort of, it had gone in one eye and out the other because that's just Tiger to me. That's vintage, classic, right, predictable Tiger. So I went back and studied what he wrote, and then I was like, really? Mm-hmm. So to me, from my perspective on this side of the desk, this reads like cliche-ridden white talk.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Where did Tiger Woods grow up? Well, he grew up in Southern California, but he grew up in the white world because he was a dynamic golfer at like age three. Mm-hmm. He was on national TV at age three.
Yeah, I saw him. That's incredible. He was on somebody else's show. Was it Johnny Carson?
Mike Douglas. Yeah. And I don't know how much money his father had as a military veteran, but Tiger got to tour this country on that amateur junior circuit that you have. It's the ladder you have to climb. Mm-hmm. To become the kind of professional golfer that the white players become.
Right.
You have to go out and play the biggest, best fields in the junior tournaments all over this country. It's why, to this day, we still have no other black stars in golf. I thought in 1997, once Tiger knocked the gates down at Augusta National, the last bastion,
right,
I thought, well, 20 years from now, we're up to 23 years from now, I thought 20 years from that date, we would have, I don't know, half the field would be black stars. Seriously, guess how many black stars we have in golf right now? How about none?
None.
Harold Varner's had a couple of moments, but we don't have, there's not been anything remotely like Tiger Woods, right?
That's expensive.
It's too expensive. It's just too
hard. The clubs and green fees.
Everything.
The travel. Yeah.
You have to go play the premier competition all over the country in the biggest junior tournament.
Right.
Tiger did that.
Right.
But he grew up, he was the only black player.
Right.
Way to go. More power to you. And he did have to overcome. Sometimes when they go to courses, even the military courses, people be looking sideways like, you're going to play this golf course? Yes, we're going to play. And he could play so he could back it up. But he grew up in a white world, right? His whole life. So he breaks through in 1997. He immediately does Oprah's show. And what did he say? Quote, unquote, I resent being called black.
Yeah.
You do? Coblination. You know, it's the combination of all the Caucasian and Asian and all the, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I know our friend Rob Parker, as soon as he heard that, he's told us many times here on the show, I'm out. He thought 1997, he interrupted his honeymoon, you know, to watch because he was riveted, as we all were. I don't think I've ever seen anything like 1997.
Nope.
It was stunning because he just buried the whole field. In his first shot at Augusta as a professional, he just wiped out the whole field. Mm-hmm. And it looked like that's it. And both Jack and Arnold, you know, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus said, oh, he's going to have a closet full of green jackets. Mm-hmm. And yet he goes on Oprah. It's just soon after. It's like within the next month. I resent being called black. You do?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we were embracing your race, right?
Right.
But no, you resent being called black. And from that point, we swing all, you're right. The black community stayed behind him through thick and a whole lot of thin in that period.
Right.
But then we get all the way to the incident you talked about. 2017, he winds up, this is in May of 2017 in Jupiter, Florida. He winds up behind the wheel of his car, incoherent, stopped at a left turn signal with his blinker on, just stopped and kind of half asleep behind the wheel. Mm-hmm. and he gets rolled up on by some police. Mm-hmm. And you tell me, is that not the worst case scenario for a black man in America?
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
And yet it's Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. So they did have to take him down and book him because that's DUI. That has written all over it. And so they found out in his system were sleep drugs and painkillers. Mm-hmm. He was off his back surgery, right? Mm-hmm. But he was treated very nicely, mm-hmm. and then he was booked, and then he was escorted home. Well, he got treatment that I don't know if many black men in this country or black women get, right?
No.
In that circumstance.
Absolutely.
So I find that highly, painfully ironic.
Right.
And yet, in the end, we look at this statement, and it's vintage Tiger because we've always said he was Jordan-esque. He always distanced himself from taking any stances, public stances,
right.
on any social justice issue or black community issue.
Right.
He's arm's length.
Right.
So I was a little surprised he said anything.
Yes.
But you would say better left unsaid.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Skip, and the thing is like the Skip, here's the thing. If the police officer takes off that uniform, he's no longer a police. He's no longer subject to having his life taken. But where do I get to take off this black skin? See, I get to be black 24 hours a day, 7 days mm-hmm. a week, 365. He working 8-12-hour shifts to be a police officer. See, I don't have that luxury to take off anything and don't have to worry about having to come into a confrontation. Mm. He does not. I do. I'm black. I'm prime shooter brother size. 6'2", black, 240.
I agree.
Ain't no police officer going to try to, like, no. Mm. They're going to try to man, they're like, nah.
You're at least Taser brother size.
No, they ain't Taser, no. They look at me and they're like, oh, he getting caught, he's 6'2", he's mm-hmm. powerful. Mm-hmm. Here's somebody think, Skip, you know how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Tiger, you do this, you're going to have praise. This is what we're talking about, Tiger. Little did you know, Tiger, what this movement is about is that we want justice. We want the police to treat us just like they do our counterparts mm. when they come upon them. That's what we want. We want people to understand that, to see us as equal. And you come up with this. That's all you had. That's the best you... After, and you took time. Skip Michael came out that thing strong, swinging.
Mm.
He said, I'm tired of it. Mm. Michael said, I'm tired of it. Skip, I didn't expect that.
He said he was feeling pain.
Yes! And Tiger come up here with this weak sauce. You wasted your time. An educated man from Harvard, mm. and Stanford, excuse me.
Yeah.
And this is what you come with, Tiger. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
We can make our points, wrote Tiger, without burning the very neighborhoods that we live in.
What do you mean we?
Which we? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess in Jupiter, you ain't got to worry about that, Skip. I guess you ain't got to worry, but you ain't got to worry about the police, you know, because they, you know. Man, Tiger, Tiger does not get a lot of what, you know, his dad was a military man,
and
what he fought for.
Vietnam.
And mm-hmm. he should understand mm-hmm. that although his dad fought, guess what? A lot of times, especially, Skip, they fought. Guess what? When they came back to the back of the bus, no, you can't come in here and eat. So the freedoms that they were fighting for, they didn't get to enjoy. Tiger, you do realize that all we're asking, we're not asking for favors. We're asking what on a piece of paper said we could have. That's it. They make it seem like we're... See, Skip, sometimes people get it confused. They feel like if we ask for something, you're going to take something from them. No, we're not trying to take your freedom. We're just asking you that we get some. That we get what you get. That's it. Mm. And so people have confused it. Well, if we give you this, we lose that. No, you don't. We just want what we need. Mm. What we've been promised on a piece of paper. That's what it calls, all men are created equal. Well, all white men are created. Is that what you mean? Is that what it meant, Skip?
Mm.
Or did they mean all white men are created equal or all men created equal? I just need to know.
Yep.
Because you've been lying to us for 400 years. Mm-hmm. You have yet to treat us equal.
Mm.
Oh, you need to. I mean, come on. We're going to educate. Look.
Okay. What? So I ask you, did you really expect Tiger Woods to suddenly get woke by the murder of George Floyd? Is that what you thought would happen?
Skip, I thought he could lie to us.
Mm.
Could he lie? Pretend like he cared about an issue that affects, although he does not identify as black, that affects the black community at an alarming rate, men and women. Could he pretend like he cares, Skip? Just a little bit? I mean, sometimes, Skip, you know, you go, I mean, when you were growing up, I don't know if you went to your girlfriend's house. Even if the food didn't taste good, you pretend like, what is good? Terrible. What is good, Miss Such as a, oh, this is very, very good. This
it actually was very
good. Yeah, no, it went like, ooh, this is some bull diggity right here. But that's okay. Yeah. But I'm like, Tiger, come on, bruh. Mm. I guess not, huh, Skip? That was asking too much?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
My bad. I'm sorry.
You're bad.
I shouldn't have expected it from you. I'm sorry, Tiger. No mercy.
Hall of Fame coach Tony Dungy weighed in on Drew Brees' comments yesterday. Dungy said that Brees can't be afraid to say that, and that likewise, people can't be afraid to speak out against it. Dungy said this would lead to conversations so we can begin to learn from each other and see change. Shannon, does he have a point?
Skip, let me say, Tony Dungy isn't a good man. Tony Dungy is a great man. Mm-hmm. He's a man of faith. He's a man of conviction. And he's a damn very good, great man. Mm. But Tony is too forgiving. Skip, we've taken the high road for 400 years and what has gotten us. And that's what Tony does. Tony's like, well, you got to understand. And you know, maybe you know, he didn't say it like he wanted to. Skip, what I've seen the NFL does is that when a player or a owner or a coach says something, 1-800-TONY-DUNGY. And he's the crisis manager because he's so good in our community that Tony vouched. And if Tony says it's okay, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Come on, Tony. Skip, I'm going to read this thing here. I couldn't write it out. You remember when LeBron James, he tweeted, we've been getting that Jewish money. Everything is kosher. That 21 Savage song, he was killed. I mean, he thought it was a compliment to the, you know, because, you know, people think obviously that Jewish community have a lot of money. So he thought that was a compliment. He got ripped. Ain't one white person come to his defense. And what we do.
I don't know that not one.
I heard it.
Okay.
I think
some Jewish people did, but go ahead.
Remember when the owner of the Houston Texans, mm-hmm. the prisoners, the inmates are running the prisoners of the prison. Oh. It's really the prisoners are running the asylum. Mm-hmm. The inmates are running the asylum is what he.
Right.
Is the cliche.
Cliche.
Who do they try to have skip? Who do they get? For crisis management, Tony Dungy. Mm-hmm. He's a good man. He got a great heart. I know Mr. McNair for all these years, and that's not what he meant. Come to find out, there are a lot of players that said behind the scenes he has said things very similar to what he said publicly. And it seems that Tony is like, at least can we just like make sure? Tony is a guy, Skip. A guy can be 99.5% bad. Mm-hmm. Tony's going to find that 0.5% that's good and latch on to that. Mm-hmm. And bless his heart. But at some point in time, man, this notion that Drew Brees didn't know, a guy that's as guarded as he is about his image and what comes out of his mouth because he knows he's the leader of a franchise. He's a quarterback. And they work on the image. They've been working on these images for a long, long time. And they've had a lot of practice at it. Mm-hmm. And to like, well, No. I'm not saying that Drew Brees does not deserve forgiveness. But can we not just automatically forgive somebody in 10 hours? Can we let them earn that forgiveness? Can them kind of work towards it? Tony just like, with no work, okay, yeah, we good. Mm. Come on. Because we don't get that. I just want somebody to trumpet for us. Like Tony Dungy's willing to trumpet for the other community. That's it.
So, because you mentioned Tony Dungy is a man of faith, allow me briefly to go biblical on you. Mm-hmm. So most people understand that the Old Testament was eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Mm-hmm. And then here comes Jesus in the New Testament, and it's about turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
And Tony is mostly about turning the other cheek. But I'm going to remind everyone, Luke chapter 12, verse 53, is one of the scariest scriptures to me, and I would like to consider myself a man of faith. One of the most scary scriptures in the Bible is 12:53 of Luke. What does it say, Mr. Sharp? Jesus is warning everyone, if you're going to follow me and follow my teachings, it's going to get dangerous out there. It's going to get ugly. I'm going to turn fathers against sons and mothers against daughters, because you're going to have to choose to follow me, and the fathers and the mothers might not like it.
Right.
it was a scary time in which all those disciples ended up losing their lives just the way Jesus was crucified. So I'm, again, not too biblical, but I want you to understand that's what it was taking.
Right.
They were having to risk their lives to say, this is the way. This is the new way. Mm-hmm. This time that we're in right now could be a very special turning point time in the history of this country because everyone seems so receptive because of that vile video, mm-hmm. that knee on that neck.
Right.
All of a sudden, hearts were opened, eyes were opened, minds might be kind of opened to, wait, what is going on here? And the white community, at least I feel like a majority, maybe just a small majority of the white community, is taking this much harder than it took Trayvon Martin or Eric Garner or Michael Brown or anybody else.
Right.
This got the white community, not everybody, but especially the white youth.
Yeah.
There's a whole generation. They are out there demonstrating and marching and protesting with their black brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And I believe it's straight from the young white people's hearts. It's not just the cool thing to do, it's just the thing to do.
Right.
So Tony Dungy is about moderation, right? Mm-hmm. See it moderately. This is a time of condemnation to me. So I'm good. If you want to condemn Drew Brees, I'm good with it because it needs to get condemned.
Right.
It needs to hurt.
Right.
It needs to sting. It needs to be a deep, open wound that doesn't close overnight. Oh, we forgive and we forget.
Right.
Drew, way to go, Drew. We got you. You're a really good man, and you've given millions to
right.
charity, and you're good now.
Right.
We get it.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, Tony says, Drew can't be afraid to say what he said. Well, afraid? I don't know. So you're encouraging the racist just to go
yeah.
ahead and blurt their heart, their
right.
racist hearts.
Exactly.
And then we can't be afraid over here on this side, if you want to call it the black community side or the other side of this, it can be a lot of the new white community too. But we can't be afraid on this side then to say, oh no, Drew, you're wrong.
Right.
Let's have discourse. Let's have communication side to side. I'm not sure it's that time. We've tried that
right.
for years and years
yeah.
and years, and it got you nowhere because it was just a lot of words. It
yeah.
was a lot of lip service.
Correct.
Which got you nowhere. It sounded good today, and tomorrow it was forgotten.
And
right?
the thing is, for me, Skip, is that, okay, we've turned the other cheek.
Mm-hmm.
250 years of slavery, mm-hmm. 100 years of apartheid and Jim Crow. We've turned the other cheek. How about you stop slapping me in my damn face?
Mm-hmm.
And then I won't have to turn my cheek. Why do I got to keep turning while you keep punching?
Mm.
Can you answer me that, Tony?
Both your cheeks are...
Yeah, I'm tired.
They're bloody.
My cheeks are bloody. My head's spinning from turning like I'm watching a tennis match.
Yep.
But we got to keep turning the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. That's the problem. We've turned... It's going to be okay. That, you know, forgive him. You heard what he said. He said he was sorry. And that's us. Black people, Skip, by nature, we're very forgiving. Because we've allowed this to go on for so long, we're very, very forgiving.
I agree.
And I think that's Tony's in and of himself is like forgiveness. I'm sorry. I mean, at some point in time, I got to stop forgiving you. Because you keep doing and you take my kindness for weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they've done. They've taken kindness for weakness.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just turn the other cheek. They'll just go to church and pray, and Lord, everything going to be okay. Nah, hell nah. They go to church too.
Mm-hmm.
So what's their God telling them? Man, stop, man. I'm tired of this, all this forgiveness and all that. Just stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a Harvard. You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar. You don't have to go to MIT, Skip,
mm-hmm.
to know you shouldn't treat people the way we've been treated.
Mm-hmm.
This education and it's going to take dialogue. Dialogue for what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out, for people that created everything, because black didn't create anything, Skip. Everything that's been good in the world has been created by whites. So why we got to educate them? They're the most educated people in all the world. But now they need the black people that they've been stepping on for 400 years to educate them how to treat us.
Mm. So you know what my favorite black protester shirt is?
What?
Just that one word, tired.
Yes.
That says it all to me. It's not I'm tired, it's just tired.
Yes.
You know, we are tired.
Right.
And yet Tony, then he continues and concludes that this battle is not going to be won by demonstrating and throwing bricks through windows. Well, I get the we got past the throwing bricks through the windows. We had an outpouring of that Saturday, Sunday, maybe a little Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I told you on Monday, I'm not going to endorse rioting, but it felt like it had a positivity to it because the frustration boiled over and spilled out.
Yes.
And God bless all those small shop owners who got burned to the ground and lost everything, got looted. God bless them all. I hurt for them. But there was some catharsis to it for this country to just get it out.
Right.
And then it subsided. And now we're back to just demonstrating. Mm-hmm. We are marching. We are protesting. Okay. That part, Tony, is wrong. You can... It's still happening. Last night, it happened all over this country.
Yes.
Demonstrate. They're peaceful.
Peaceful, correct.
But there's positivity and strength in demonstrating. I think, what are we now? We're 11 days since George Floyd?
He died the 25th. Yep. And so what, we're the 4th, 5th? So we're about 13 days.
We're 12 days. Mm-hmm. And now we have two more services coming up on, I think it's Saturday and Monday, I believe, in North Carolina and Houston. So we will have more demonstrations. So I think it's impactful. I think it's powerful to peacefully demonstrate.
Skip, and Coach Dungy is right. Nothing's going to be resolved through bricks, through windows, and burning down buildings. But what the hell is going to be resolved through forgiveness? We've been forgiven for 400 years. And so what has that gotten us, Coach? We've been forgiven. That's okay. We've forgiven. We've got to get over slavery. We've got to get over Jim Crow. We've got to get up being unemployed at a higher rate, our health care, our economics. Yeah. We've got to get over all that. So I'm just saying, the forgiveness, we've forgiven. Okay, so Tony, forgiveness does not bring about change, Skip. Nothing, power concedes nothing. So this, we just forgive and everything's going to be okay. Man, stop this.
I hear you.
Sorry, Coach, but I love you, Coach. But me and you, we disagree. We have different points of view on this one.
It makes sense in hearing you say that conversations are not nearly enough. But the discussions I think we've had on the show, and I just want to say to both of you guys, the amount of people who've reached out and just said, you guys are having them. I don't agree with everything. I don't have to, but I'm listening. And I think for you guys, Skip and Shannon, just being able to go far and go deep in this, I really respect it. No mercy.